So, you have a Spider-Man sequel script for me?
Yes, sir, I do. So for this one, I really wanted to go all in on what people really loved about the first two movies.
Oh yeah, a bunch of cool Spider-Man action?
No, a bunch of relationship problems between Peter and MJ.
Is that what people liked about the first two movies?
Well, I certainly hope so, because we're gonna have a ton of crying and whining from both of them.
Wow, fingers crossed.
I also noticed that there weren't a lot of music or dance numbers in the first two movies, so I went ahead and jammed like four or five of them into this one to compensate.
I guess it'll be fun to have some good musical numbers in there.
Oh no, they're gonna be really bad.
Oh, they are?
Yeah, one of the story threads is actually about how bad the first musical performance was, like MJ's gonna get fired from her Broadway play, she was so bad. So we're jamming a bunch of bad music and dance numbers in there?
Exactly.
Interesting strategy, I'm sure people won't see it coming.
Probably not.
So one of the things that people definitely liked in the first two movies were the villains. So tell me about the villain in this one, what's his deal?
Which one?
Oh, you have two villains?
I have three villains.
Oh, laying it on real thick. Okay, tell me about the three villains.
Well, we're gonna have this guy Flint Marko turn into the Sandman.
Okay, and what's his deal?
Well, he has a sick daughter, so anytime he does something bad, it's not his fault.
That's true. If you have a sick family member, you're not responsible for any of your actions.
Exactly. Like last week, I heard my niece cough, so I went outside and stole a car.
Not your fault.
I know. That's what I explained to the screaming people inside the car.
So how does he turn into the Sandman?
Well, he escaped from prison, so as he's running from the cops, he falls inside a big science hole.
Those things are all over the place.
I know, and at this one, a bunch of scientists are doing tests on some sand at 2 a.m. and not following up on the results.
Wow.
So yeah, he completely turns to sand, but this little locket that his daughter gave him doesn't, so he has something to look at all sad-like.
Oh, she gave him a locket?
Yeah, apparently she realized that having a locket with a picture of herself was a little weird, so she gave it to her dad.
That is a weird thing to carry around.
Anyway, so to push things further with Sandman, later Peter and Aunt May are gonna get called to the police station.
What for?
Well, the police are gonna be like, guess what? It was actually the Sandman who killed Uncle Ben, but we didn't tell you because we didn't want to upset you.
So why are they telling him now?
Because they want to upset them now, I guess.
Oh, suddenly deciding to upset people is tight.
Yeah, and this way we can rewrite Uncle Ben's death to kind of shoehorn the Sandman in there.
Why would we do that, though? It doesn't add anything.
So Peter can have a deep personal connection with the villain.
Is that really necessary for every single villain?
Yes, always, forever.
Well, okay then.
We're also gonna have the Venom symbiote in this movie.
Oh, people love Venom.
They sure do, sir, and he's gonna be in the movie for about 5 minutes.
That's more than enough Venom, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, we need to leave room for all the musical numbers.
Very true. So what's the backstory of the Venom symbiote?
It's gonna fall from space on a meteorite and land right next to Peter in Central Park.
So what does Peter do?
Well, he doesn't notice because he's in a web hammock kissing MJ.
What about his spider sense?
Oh yeah, I forgot that was a thing, so it's not gonna be a thing in this movie?
Fair enough.
Yeah, he's just gonna get blindsided left and right. He's not gonna see anything coming.
That's okay. As long as we don't really bring up Spidey sense, I don't think people are gonna notice.
Oh, well, Venom does have a line later where he's groping MJ and he's like, my Spidey sense is tingling, if you know what I mean.
Oh, well, we can't cut that. That's a fantastic line.
My thoughts exactly. So anyway, this symbiote is gonna turn Peter's suit black and make him kind of a jerk, but really cool.
Oh, so he's like into jazz?
I said he's cool. Of course he's into jazz.
Just making sure.
He also does a lot of finger guns and pelvic thrusts and dances in public to no music.
Oh, none of that is gonna be physically painful to watch.
Not in the least. He even says cool stuff like, now dig on this.
Very cool.
So anyway, eventually Peter's gonna get rid of the symbiote and it's gonna latch on to Eddie Brock.
Oh, tell me about Eddie Brock.
Well, he and Peter are fighting for the same photography job, right?
Okay.
And Peter discovers that Eddie faked a picture of Spider-Man.
Unbelievable.
So Eddie's like, come on, man, give me a break. Don't tell anyone. And Peter's like, you want forgiveness? Get religion.
Oh, but he didn't ask for forgiveness. He asked for a break.
Right, but there's gonna be a scene in a church later, so it's like foreshadowing.
Doesn't really make sense for him to say that, though.
It's a nod to something later.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm a good writer.
Oh, well, okay then. So what happens at the church?
Well, Eddie goes there to be like, hey, God, could you please kill Peter Parker?
That is how church works.
And as it turns out, at the very same time, in the very same church, Peter's in the bell tower tearing off his symbiote suit.
Wow, what a wacky coincidence.
Yeah, so Eddie Brock's gonna be like, Parker? And then some symbiote's gonna fall on him.
And he's gonna turn into Venom.
And he's gonna turn into Venom. And all he wants to do now is kill Peter Parker himself.
So he climbs up to the top of the bell tower.
Oh, well, no. I just have him do a scary thing where he jumps at the camera.
But isn't Peter just lying there naked at the top of the bell tower?
I guess he must have woken up and swung home naked. I don't know.
Fair enough.
And then the other villain is Harry Osborn, and he's like the new Green Goblin.
And why is he a villain?
Well, he thinks that Peter killed his dad, so he wants to kill Peter.
Oh, true.
But towards the end of the movie, his butler's gonna be like, yo, your dad killed himself. I cleaned his wounds. I should know.
Why did he wait so long to tell him?
I don't know.
Now we're works for me.
So then it's gonna be this big final fight of Harry and Peter versus Sandman and Venom.
What are they fighting over? What do you think?
Mary Jane got kidnapped?
Mary Jane got kidnapped. I love that we always do that.
It's just as exciting each time.
Man, so it must have been tough to juggle all these villains in the same script.
Actually, it was super easy, barely an inconvenience.
Oh, really?
Yeah, throughout the script, I just had things happen to them that made them take little breaks from the movie.
What do you mean?
Well, like Harry bumps his head and forgets everything for a while.
Oh, amnesia is always a great storytelling device.
And then Sandman gets flushed down a sewer for a bit.
Wow, and what about Venom?
Oh, well, I just make the symbiote hang out in Peter's apartment doing nothing until I want it in the movie.
It just hangs out?
Yeah. It just hitches a ride on Peter's scooter from Central Park and chills out.
That's a very patient symbiote.
So what do you think? Do you think all these story threads are gonna work?
I think it's gonna work very well.
Very well. Hey guys, it's Ryan here. Hope you enjoyed that pitch meeting. There are a lot more pitch meetings on the channel that you can check out. You can also let me know in the comments section what other movies you'd like to see pitches for. And if you haven't seen it yet, we launched a new series on the channel called Theory Battles. In those videos, we go head to head with two different film theories, and then you guys decide which one of the two is the most plausible. It's a whole lot of fun. Definitely check it out. Also, if you like this video, be sure to give it a like, maybe share it on Facebook and Twitter, MySpace, and check back soon for a new pitch. Bye-bye.